Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands
together for a Wednesday. A little overcast this morning. Rain in the forecast today after all the sunshine of yesterday. Sun will return tomorrow, but about a 40% chance of some showers today. We'll take that and get right back to the sunshine. But,
And most importantly, Ty has investigated the whole BK thing.
This Burger King commercial goes
way back. You know, all those years I would come on and say, Luther Vandross the Great and late
the great
Luther
career.
Vandross, yes, mm-hmm. did McDonald's commercials. Needless to say, it wasn't McDonald's, was it, Ty? It was Burger King commercials.
Juicy Fruit,
Burger King.
Mountain Dew.
It's good money.
Yeah, it was back then. I guess it was good money.
Well, I didn't realize that this current BK campaign is just a revamped 70s jingle.
Ooh, and weren't alive in the 70s, T.Y.
No, but I took Bucky way back with some of these, videos I was playing in here during the break.
I heard them.
They had the Soul Sisters doing it.
Yeah, Burger King. Yeah, and the fact that you had a pair of Home of the Whopper underwear is still
yes.
too funny. Too much. I don't know, how would you ever give those up? I guess they wear out at some point.
Well, they almost had to be cut off because I was in a car accident, and that's what I was wearing when I was sitting in there with glass in my hair.
Oh, man, at least you were wearing
glass
underwear.
In my fro at the time.
At least you were wearing underwear.
Well, one of the guys wasn't that was in that same car accident, so.
Well, unfortunate. He wasn't wearing underwear?
Yeah, one had, mine was Home of the Whopper, somebody had bikinis, and somebody had none.
Oh, no. Everybody okay?
Everybody was, that's the start of my back problem.
That's 50 years ago now, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? All right, so good stuff. Good chuckle, good laugh, and Hot or Not. Also out of Hot or Not, the grammar police are out. It says, I knew as I said this, somebody was going to text me. Regardless is a word, irrespective is a word, irregardless is not a word.
Okay.
It's true. I knew that as I said it. But
we make up our own language here anyway.
Yeah, regardless, the Gary Patterson situation, that's on the coaching conversation, which we'll talk about with Jerry Hamilton from Inside Texas here coming up right after the headlines. Also, somebody said, E, stop whining. Look, I'm just pointing out that the 49ers had a 48-hour head start on the Cowboys as far as preparation for the biggest game of the year. I think that is – I didn't like it when the NFL went to Monday Night Football and playoff games, but that's just my opinion. I don't think it's competitively – because the NFL talks about competitive balance all the time. It's one of the foundational pieces of their sport is competitive balance and equality. This is not. I mean, the 49ers have had two extra days to get ready for this game because the Cowboys had to play Monday Night Football. That's a competitive disadvantage.
Yes.
Plus, they've got to travel. They had to go to Tampa. Now they're going to play. Now, again, the Rams had to do it last year and won the Super Bowl. So it's not impossible by any stretch. The Rams had to go on the road.
It just ain't fair.
It's just I know it's for TV, and the TV ratings were whoppers, as we expected Monday night, 30 million-plus viewers. But, I think if you're a Cowboy fan, you're like, man, I mean, 2 days off their feet, 2 days getting ready. But that's what you have to go beat, plus a very good football team. Yeah, the Rams did it last year. Rams went to Arizona, then went to Tampa, won both games, and then hosted the NFC Championship game. That's what the Cowboys will hope will happen over the next couple
of
weeks.
So is that the office guy that's doing the burger? Is he the voice of it now, though?
I could not confirm that with a short Google search, but he might be.
Let's get to the quick headlines, and then we will talk some hoops and some football, all things Longhorns with Jerry Hamilton. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring you the news. Yeah, busy night of basketball last night. You can probably thank that Monday Night Football wild card game for pushing some Big 12 games into a Tuesday that would have been Big Monday games, and three big Big 12 games, including the Longhorns. Seventh-ranked Horns on the road at Iowa State, and things got off to a really good start for Texas. They dominated the first 13, 14 minutes. They were up 11 points with 7:28 to go in the first half. That's when the wheels came off a little bit. The Cyclones went on a 10-0 run from there. Horns went cold. And the Iowa State took a one-point lead into the half, 36-35. Second half went back and forth early, but then again, the Longhorns went ice cold, went more than 9 minutes without a field goal. Iowa State took advantage. They built a double-digit lead and go on to win it 78-67. Horns shot just 38% in the second half, managed just 32 points. Iowa State improves to 5-1 in the Big 12. Horns now 4-2 for Rodney Terry.
Physical game. You know, I thought a physical on both ends of the floor. You know, they shoot 30 free throws. You know, we shoot 22. We wanted to get to the foul line. Likewise, we knew that they were a team that really plays aggressive. And, you know, we had a stretch there where we got off to a great start in the game. But then we had a little stretch there where we turned the ball over, like 8 turnovers there. And let those guys come back, get some momentum kind of going into halftime.
Iowa State now 5-1 in the conference, as we say. That puts them atop the league, along with Kansas and Kansas State. That's because K-State pulled the upset last night. Thriller in overtime. They beat the Jayhawks and the Jayhawks' 10-game win streak, 83-82. Get the victory there. So those three teams, Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State, all 5-1 in the Big 12. Longhorns a game back. Also last night, Baylor went into Lubbock, took down Texas Tech, 81-74. They're back to 500, now at 3-3. Red Raiders are 0-6 in Big 12 play, and they're going to K-State on Saturday. Outside the Big 12 last night, top-ranked Houston Cougars continue to roll. Number one team in the land, beat Tulane 80-60. In the NBA, Spurs topped the Kevin Durant-less Nets 106-98. Brooklyn has not won a game since Kevin Durant went down with that knee injury. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said yesterday, team's going to forge on and stick with their struggling kicker, Brett Maher, despite his 4 missed extra points in the win over the Buccaneers on Monday night. No plans to bring in anyone else. And a stunning upset overnight at the Australian Open, 65th-ranked American Mackenzie McDonald took down the defending champion and 22-time major champion Rafael Nadal in straight sets. So in second-round action, Nadal clearly dealing with some type of hip injury, but labored through the straight-set loss. Mackenzie McDonald with the stunner.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start 2023 off right and save money on last year's Steel, Toro, and Hustler equipment still in stock this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, so all that plus Aaron Rodgers says he still thinks he can win an MVP in the right situation, but isn't sure if Green Bay is currently the right situation. So 8 months removed from signing the largest contract in pro football history, Aaron Rodgers may want out.
Yeah, I mean, but why can't he say I can win a Super Bowl? I can get a team to the Super Bowl. Well, why has it got to be him? I can win another MVP. Okay, that's good. What happens when your team goes home at playoff time? I mean, it's that guy. It's so much drama.
He's kind of a
me guy, isn't he?
He likes to talk. That's why he goes on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday, and they just, you know. He, in his mind, he's being candid and honest, saying,
I think I can.
But it's almost passive aggressive. It is passive aggressive. He's like, well, you know, if the Packers want to move on to Jordan Love, they did draft him in the first round. I mean, that's their decision.
Let's call his bluff. Bye.
I still think I can play at an MVP level if the situation's right. Green Bay's got to make that call. I mean, yeah, he's pawning it off. But the annual Aaron Rodgers offseason drama begins as of yesterday. Going to the Vaqueros hotline, though. A lot of drama in the Big 12 last night in hoops. Longhorns come up on the short end of a rough night in Ames. Also a big recruiting weekend on tap for Longhorn football. Let's talk to Jerry Hamilton from Inside Texas on 3 Sports. G, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic.
Doing good. What'd you make last night? I mean, our little overview is you can't go almost 18 minutes of floor time without scoring a basket and win a lot of Big 12 games, especially on the road.
Well, I think, you know, look, I think, one, Iowa State's a really good team.
Sure.
The Big 12 is a brutal league, right? I mean, kind of my thoughts, you know, I said on Inside Texas headed in this week, Texas just needs to split. This is their, you know, look, they play a February 4th, 6th road game, but that's a Saturday turnaround Monday. But this is the only week all season where both games from Sunday to Saturday are on the road. So the key for Texas this week is getting a split, and they're at West Virginia Saturday, which, you know, people are like, oh, well, Texas will beat West Virginia. Well, West Virginia, they wouldn't be 0-5 in any other conference in the country. The Big 12 is a legitimate conference. But, yeah, Texas – look, Texas got off the slow starts at home, and they were able to come back and win because of home court, right? Maybe you get a call late, maybe you don't. But they were able to do that. I just think, look, it's a tough league. I mean, I would take 11-7 right now, no questions asked, and walk away.
Yeah, we were talking.
I mean, I would take 11-7. I mean, because that gets you to about on that 3 or 4 seed line, and with what this team's been through, that's a take for me. If you could get to 12-6, great. The only way I see Texas being able to get 12-6 is if they win Saturday. You can't drop both road games and get the 4-3 if you look at what's coming on the schedule. I mean, four of the next 6 are on the road. It was 5-7 starting this week on the road, 8 of the last 14 on the road. That does include Tennessee and non-conference. That is about as tough a schedule as one will find in the season, especially considering that Kansas twice, Baylor twice, Iowa State one more time, at TCU, at Texas Tech, at Tennessee. Man, that is a tough schedule in front of Texas, so they need to get that split this week.
You know, it's tough enough being in your conference and going on the road, but to have to go to Knoxville and play there in the middle of your season, at the toughest part of your season in that stretch, I mean, it's not like we're going to Hawaii for some invitational where we chill out at the beach for like a half a day. But that's a tough trip to Knoxville.
That's a tough trip, and that's a rugged team. It's a Rick Barnes team.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we watched them for years, right? I mean, that's a game where you're physically going to get beaten up a little bit too, right, in the midst of a tough conference stretch. So, yeah, but that also comes with opportunity, because here's the thing I look at with Texas right now is – they had two. They're now 2-1 on the road in Big 12. So you tip your hat to Texas. They won at OU. They won at Oklahoma State. So they're 2-1 on the road. They've already got some key road wins. But now, from the resume standpoint, Iowa State was an opportunity last night. They've got a lot of opportunities coming up. They need to beat a really ranked team on the road. For me, I mean, those are the kind of the stamp your resume type of things, which is what we're looking at right now with Texas, right? I mean, there's a lot of season left, but you're already starting to look ahead. Every team Texas plays is ranked in the top 50 the rest of the way in the ESPN Power Index, right? Or some, if you look at various other things, maybe Texas Tech 55. But Texas' strength of schedule is going to really rise, right? And they're going to be ranked right there. But they need to win one of these big road games down the stretch. I mean, they got some great opportunities. Kansas State, Tennessee. I mean, TCU is going to be ranked, right? I mean, Texas Tech's not going to be easy ever, right, up there. So, but they really need to beat one of those ranked teams on the road. They need that stamp win. They've got some great home wins, and they deserve credit for that. But now it's about resume building and getting 11-7 for me.
Jerry Hamilton with us inside Texas Degree. Yeah, we talked about that. 11-7, 12-6 would be incredible in this conference with the non-conference wins over Gonzaga and Creighton and the resume that they built before the conference. But, Jerry, if you're going to go on the road and steal one of these big road wins, and this is where Rodney Terry is going to earn his chops here, dialing up big plays, big opportunities against these top coaches and these rosters. And, quite honestly, you need Marcus Carr, Timmy Allen, and these guys to be better in those moments. I mean, you can have a bad night, but we saw it with K-State and Kansas last night. You need your best players to rise up and go get buckets when you're struggling.
Well, yeah, and here's what made Texas really good early in the season. I'm not saying they're not good now. They're a really good team. But Tyrese Hunter was playing at a high level, too.
Yeah.
He has not been playing at the level he can play up to. And I really think that there's going to be a couple of keys down the stretch for Texas here. I think that they have to have Tyrese Hunter play at a higher level. I mean, he's much more talented player than what we've seen recently, especially since the Chris Beard situation and eventual firing. I think that it's been tough on him. They need him to play at a higher level. Then they're going to also need, look, this conference seasons are tough on freshmen. They're going to need Dylan Mitchell and Terrio to really come through, because some of these experienced guys, it's great to have all the experience, and they're going to get you to certain points. They're going to help you win games. But those legs are also going to get tired in this conference. They're going to need every guy to have a good night or a couple of good nights. They're going to need Terrio to have a 5 3-point game somewhere on the road and really play one of his best games of the season. They're going to need Dylan Mitchell to kind of get across the finish line and be a more physical player in a very physical conference and have a couple of big games down the stretch. Like you said, Texas has a lot of guys that can score the ball. They have a lot of different options, which they didn't have last year. Now they got to have those options come through the rest of the schedule at different times, because Texas has the talent, They just need some of these guys to step up and play at a very high level two or three times throughout this conference to help the most consistent guys, which the most consistent guys for Texas right now have been Marcus Carr and Timmy Allen. They need those other guys to have some big games around them when they don't.
You know, Jerry, then all said and done, I mean, as you talk about, you know, these games that they have coming up, they can't afford to lose a game to West Virginia. They can't afford to lose to a Bob Huggins team that's just not – they've been just okay, but he feels like they're getting close. I mean, that getting close, Texas can't be the team that they get close with. They have to win that game.
No, yeah. But being 0-2 this week would be tough. That's a tough one because then you're sitting at 4-3, and you look at the rest of the conference schedule, and you're sitting there counting wins versus losses, right? Then you're saying, okay, is it 10-8? How do you get to 11-7? Boy, 12-6 is looking a little tougher now. They got to win that game Saturday.
Agreed. Jerry Hamilton with us. All right, switch gears to football. I know it's a big recruiting weekend, junior day coming in. I want your thoughts on that here coming up. But first, these coaches, they're looking for a wide receivers coach. I know you guys at On3Sports were reporting about the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver coach, Chris Jackson. Also, we know Texas and Steve Sarkisian about to hire an offensive assistant to the head coach, one of those special analyst roles like Gary Patterson's filling on defense. What are the latest that you guys are hearing on both of those fronts?
Yeah, I mean, continue to hear, you know, Chris Jackson is the leader in the clubhouse. You know, look, weird things can happen with these searches, right? I mean, Jacksonville was not expected to win the playoff game last week, and they did. How does that affect timing? You have Junior Day coming up this week. I don't think Texas is going to rush a wide receiver hire to have a guy in place for this weekend. Look, things can change. I expect Texas to make a tremendous hire. If it ends up being Chris Jackson, I think that's a great hire. I mean, tip your hat to Steve Sarkisian. I think that is a great hire if he gets Chris Jackson to Austin. I think that it would resonate with receiver prospects. I think that would resonate with the Margin Hooks of the world, who is a great trainer of wide receivers up in the DFW area. Someone that he would trust his kids to learn under, right? So I think that would be a home run hire. You know, a special assistant on the offensive side will be interesting. That could come from the high school or college level. I kind of think it may come from the high school level right now. You still have the director of high school relations. And what's interesting about that, the job Chris Gilbert left, as Sarkisian's splitting that into two jobs now. There's going to be one position. There'll probably be Syntex in Dallas area. And that hire could come from the Central Texas area. It could come from the Dallas area. I'm maybe leaning to Central Texas a little bit. Then I think there's going to be an assistant or a secondary role, and that's going to come from the Houston area, some top Houston, because I think Dallas is the most talented area in the state right now by a decent margin. But Houston is so important in recruiting, too, and that can't be lost. So I think that's really smart of Steve Sarkisian to split that into two separate roles. So they definitely – and then they have a couple of analysts, a couple of the analysts have moved on to jobs, one to Norfolk State. So they got a couple of those hires to make as well. So big couple of weeks here coming up for Steve Sarkisian to fill out that staff prior to spring practice and around the big Junior Day this weekend, which is going to have a boatload of talent in town.
Yeah, expand on that. I mean, Junior Day, these are for the class of 2024. What will that look like? What are some of the names? You know, last year at this time, we're talking about Arch Manning and Cedric Baxter and all those guys became the class of 23. What are you looking at in 24 and who are some of our the top names?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to, for people that aren't on Inside Texas, and we say this on Inside Texas, you got to remember, these are junior days. These are scheduled to attend, right? These aren't official visits where guys are being flown in. So when I say scheduled to attend, 9 out of 10 guys that we mentioned will attend. So a couple of these guys, it'll fall by the wayside, travel or whatnot. But the number one running back in the country, Jarrett Gibson, out of IMG, Gainesville, Florida, Tashard Choice's top guy. He's supposed to be in town. He's scheduled to be in town. He's been in town before. We saw what Tashard Choice did last year in the recruitment of Cedric Baxter. He's trying to pull it off again. Number one running back in the country out of the Sunshine State 2 years in a row. Jarrett Gibson really likes Tashard Choice. Choice, I believe, is by the school yesterday or is going to be by the school or IMG today. He's supposed to be in town. The defensive line is going to be really key in the 2024 recruiting class as Texas gets inches closer to go into the man's league on the line of scrimmage, the SEC. There's some big-time guys scheduled to be in. DeAndre Robinson, a big defensive tackle out of Orlando Jones High. Tashard Choice, Bo Davis, tag team in that recruitment. There's last year we talked about on Inside Texas, the state of Alabama was loaded with big athletic bodies on the defensive line. This year it's Mississippi. Texas has offered four defensive linemen in Mississippi. At least two of those guys are scheduled to be in town this weekend. Jeffrey Rush out of Pascagoula, and then Terrence Hibbler out of Holmes County. So maybe a third shows up as well. Then there's a defensive lineman committed to Utah out of Phoenix City, Central Alabama. Isaiah Faga, he's coming in town. So Texas is looking for the big bodies with some twitch. And the great thing, the fun thing for Texas fans, you're battling Georgia, Alabama, LSU, and Auburn, and everybody else for those guys. It's big boy recruiting time for Texas fans. You're getting closer to the SEC, and a lot of those guys are going to be in town either this weekend, next weekend, or early in March.
There it is. There's the full overview. Jerry Hamilton, appreciate it, my friend. Great stuff as always. Good stuff on Texas basketball, Junior Day, and the Longhorns coaching search. Always appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Jerry.
You got it, guys. Yep.
Interesting that Jerry, if you're listening, was the special assistant to the head coach role that could be announced as soon as today, according to some, maybe by tomorrow. As Jerry said, it could come from the high school ranks. That's interesting. Because Gary Patterson is the special assistant on defense. And
sure.
Whether he remains and is here again all next year is still up in the air. So far, he's still with the program and no signs of him going anywhere, but could. But they're going to hire one on the offensive side, which I in my head, I'm thinking the David Cutcliffes of the world, right? Retired older coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting if it came from the high school ranks.
A young coach?
Or a veteran coach who's. Mm-hmm. Heck, the immediate name that came into my head, and I'm just saying this off because it came into my head, was Todd Dodge at Westlake. Todd Dodge, of course, is no longer coaching the Chaps, but was a Hall of Famer, and he's not coaching right now, and he's great with offense. He's great with quarterbacks. He's great with offensive passing game development. These are things that Sark is making his number one priority. That's just a name, but I mean, if Jerry is hearing and Inside Texas are hearing maybe it's a high school coach or the high school ranks, that's the kind of name you would look for. And, sometimes you can look down and really get some innovative guys that can come in and help your program in that role. But that's something to watch here. And Chris Jackson is the name from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Jerry.
Yeah, they're going to wait on it. Sounds like they're waiting for him.
Well,
if he's their number one choice, they're going to wait.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because he mentioned the guy in Dallas who trains all the wide receivers, right? He's the go-to guy for wide receiver development in your off time. If he likes this guy Chris Jackson, there's a lot of reasons you would go that direction. He's coaching in the NFL, coaching pro receivers, and comes with an endorsement from someone who's.
And he'll get paid because they'll make him special, whatever it is, assistant to the whatever.
Pass game coordinator.
Yeah, they just
OOC.
They just make up names to get you more cash.
All right, there you go. There's the full overview of Junior Day, the Longhorn football situation, and a little Longhorn basketball conversation. I think Jerry's right. 11-7 would be really strong at this point. Get to 12-6, you're doing some things.
Hell, Ty, we can get you more cash if we just name you special assistant to E. Hogan or something. Special assistant to...
I would call him special assistant to the Whopper.
To the King.
I got to go try it first.
Yeah. No,
it's got mayo. You know, it's got mayo.
You could probably get it without it, right?
Do you mind?
Well, that's part of the commercial.
Yeah, I you know what? That's the only kind of the only burger I've ever had with it is the Burger King with the mayo. I've never asked for any mayo on anything.
I like my burger just with cheese and that's it. Maybe some bacon.
Dip and ketchup and mustard.
And then you dip it in ketchup.
And ketchup and mustard.
If you get ketchup on the burger,
no,
it gets soggy.
Really?
If I'm going with any condiment,
have you ever
on
been
the
to Shortstop? Have you ever had that burger slip into your lap while you're driving?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
My favorite burger easily is the mushroom Swiss, and I don't put anything on that. I just said mushroom Swiss with some mushrooms.
Because it's got enough grease on it.
Yeah.
It's got enough slipperiness.
Cheese, and that's a good one.
I'm still a Shortstop guy.
But if I don't do mushroom Swiss, I do some mustard with some pickles.
Yeah. Back in the day, the more I drank, the more I ate those Shortstop. I mean, I could eat two of those things.
Hey, let's come back. When we do, we'll pick up these divisional playoff matchups in the NFL. Also, that Aaron Rodgers conversation, which will be ongoing.
Me.
And in salacious gossip, we got two coaches. We got a coach under investigation in Ann Arbor by the police. And Ty's favorite coach, who got in trouble for having guys do 400 push-ups up in the Metroplex, he is in trouble, too. We'll get you details on that coming up. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Nice, T.Y., as we are sitting from our fourth-floor headquarters on 360 watching the front roll in. Is that a cold front, Buck? Is that a rain front?
That's a rain front right there.
Moving from west to east, as which As Craig Way would say, left to right on your radio dial. We're looking out the windows here, and from left to right would be west to east. And we got some football conversations going on. How about this little stat I just uncovered, Buck, or at least added to the numbers? You realize the four teams playing in the AFC Divisional Playoffs this weekend have won a combined 28 games in a row? 28 games in a row. The Bengals are on a 9-game win streak.
Okay.
The Bills are on an 8-game win streak. The Let me make sure I get my math right here.
Kansas City on a yeah, they've
won. Kansas City's won 5 in a row,
yeah,
entering the playoffs. They didn't play last week. Jacksonville's win last week gave them
6.
6 in a row. That is correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they've won 7 of 8. Matter of fact, the Jaguars' last loss, since when they lost November 13th at Kansas City, 27-17, they've only lost one game since. So, and they come in on a 7-game win streak. 9 in a row for the Bengals, 8 in a row for the Bills, and we know that that Bills-Bengals win streak is because they didn't get to play their game.
That's right.
One of them would have taken a loss in that game, obviously. So that's incredible. I got to feel like that's some kind of record to be, you have every team's coming in on a heater right now. 28-game win streaks combined for those four teams. And look, those, you know, we're talking about the Cowboys at a competitive disadvantage at some level to the Niners, who've had 2 days extra rest to get ready for their game Sunday. The Bengals, they're rightfully criticizing the NFL for this game because, you know, the NFL made it, because of the DeMar Hamlin situation, they couldn't finish that game. The NFL has come out and said that if Kansas City plays Buffalo in the AFC Championship game, that'll be on a neutral site. The Bengals are saying, wait a second, if we had beaten the Bills that night, we would have home field advantage in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't this game on a neutral site? Why are we going to Buffalo? Why not equal justice under the rule or whatever you want to say? Because that's right, because the game didn't, and I think the NFL would say, well, because records and, you know, whatever, and we know that the Bills had already beaten the Chiefs earlier this year in Kansas City. But I think Cincinnati has at least a gripe to say, wait a second, we were winning that game when it was over, when it got called, outside of our control, obviously. And, you know, that we didn't get to finish that game. But that's where the Bengals are, really excited about the AFC games. NFC games, obviously, 3 of the 4 teams from the NFC East. First time that's happened in 20 years. You got the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys, and then, of course, the 49ers, who, as we told you in the 6 o'clock hour, according to the BetMGM, MGM Grand, the 49ers have moved ahead to become the odds favorites to win the Super Bowl, even with a rookie quarterback. You buying that?
No, I'm looking. Yeah, I think they're the best right now, but I'm looking at the easiest pick of the week, and I think it's Kansas City.
Ooh.
I think that whole Jacksonville thing comes crumbling down.
Yeah,
I think
they're playing
Mahomes
with house money, no doubt. Because not only, you know, when they went on that streak after they lost to the Chiefs, the 6 out of 7 to finish, or 7 out of 8 to finish the regular season, they also needed Tennessee to collapse, which they did. Ryan Tannehill got hurt. You know, Tennessee was way ahead in that division. They needed both to happen. They had to get really hot, and then they had to see Tennessee fall apart. And then they fell behind 27-0 in the wild card game, and they're still playing because they won that game 31-30.
And I got a feeling. I mean, I just think that this is one of those games where Patrick Mahomes is hearing a lot of Josh Allen talk, a lot of Tom Brady talk, a lot of Dak Prescott talk, and he's thinking, you know what, I'm still around. I'm still here.
I think that happens each year when the team that it used to be two teams that didn't play, they got the bye in each conference. Now it's just one.
Yes.
Yeah, so that team, it's recency bias. Everybody got to see Dak play great Monday night. Everybody got to see Daniel Jones play great. You know, but Jalen Hurts, he's hearing that too. So is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence can't throw those balls. I mean, if he does that to the Kansas City Chiefs, they'll be in the 50s.
Yeah, they will run away with that game. 4 turnovers in the first quarter and a half. That's going to be a blowout. And speaking of turnovers, in the Buffalo game, you know Josh Allen has 32 turnovers this year?
He does. He throws a lot of picks.
16
he throws
picks,
them in the damn
16
scoring
fumbles.
Zone.
I mean, you can't – I mean, they have to stop that. Now, the Bengals' big issue is their offensive line is banged up. I mean, and they won their game on Sunday night on a turnover. That goal line play with Sam Hubbard returning at 98 yards for the touchdown.
Would you say Buffalo's great on the defensive line, or are they just pretty good right now?
They're pretty good. I don't know if they're great. They miss Von Miller.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, Ed Oliver's really good.
You're right.
Shaq Lawson's a real good player off their line. I mean, they're – and if you're down to – you're down. If Jonah Williams can't play on the Bengals' offensive line, and how can you imagine him playing? He dislocated his kneecap. That hurts.
No, not in a week. You're not coming back.
At that point, Joe Burrow,
swelling alone is.
That point, Joe Burrow will be without 3 of his 5 offensive linemen that he's you know, that's a problem going into Buffalo on the road in
cold
that environment.
Up there now.
And they need to be able to run the football. And the thing that it really hurts is if the pass rush, and gosh, if Von Miller were there, the Bills would be licking their chops. But they'll still rush the passer, and that limits their ability to push the ball down the field. One of the biggest weapons the Bengals have is their downfield passing game to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, the ability to create those explosives. If you don't have time, you can't do that. You got to be shorter, and you know, you have to rely on a shorter passing game. You got to be really precise with Joe Burrow, and you got to be able to run the football. Kind of limits your playbook. And then it limits what Buffalo knows. We don't have to hold up in coverage for nearly as long if we can get home. That becomes a big factor in that football game. But look, we got four red-hot teams. You got four teams that are on month or more long winning streaks coming into this, a couple of them on two-month win streaks. That's pretty cool football. With some high-end quarterback play with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence and Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you could argue that those are the four faces of the AFC moving forward. They're all under 30.
The Giants have been playing playoff games for like the last two months, it seemed like.
Yeah. Well, think about that in the AFC, Buck, and then we'll go to the NFC. Think about that. Four under 30 quarterbacks.
Yep.
And they're the face of the conference now. And might be for the next 10 years. With you got Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence. Those are the faces of that conference moving forward. NFC is where Dak Prescott can become, right? You're talking about Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott, and Brock Purdy. This could become Dak
Purdy?
Prescott. Purdy the birdie.
Come on, not Purdy.
Just saying, if Dak Prescott wins that game, he becomes the face of the NFC.
He does.
At the quarterback position. I mean,
if Purdy takes this group to the Super Bowl, how do you even talk about the quarterback with the leg on backwards, the ankle on backwards? You can't. Can't take Purdy if he wins the Super Bowl and then say, no, you're the backup this year. Can you? And you can talk about open tryouts.
To the Super Bowl.
I don't even have any open tryouts. No, you are the guy.
Well, Garoppolo's going to move on as a free agent anyhow.
Yes.
Then it's about he and Trey Lance. And if he wins or gets you to the – wins the NFC, he'll be the quarterback next year. I mean, he'll run the team the whole offseason, and you'll figure out what to do with Trey Lance. Trey Lance will just be the backup. You use him in running situations.
Yes.
Develop him that way and maybe eventually trade him. But, you know, here's the funny part. The oxymoron on that is that, you know, some will say, well, Kyle Shanahan doesn't need a quarterback. He can win with anybody because he's got all these weapons. Well, Kyle Shanahan, his own actions told you how important he thinks the quarterback position is because he traded two number one draft picks and a second to go up to get Trey Lance.
That's right.
So he was telling you the quarterback is still important. So that becomes the Cowboys' confidence is, hey, can we make that guy the factor? Can we make Brock Purdy look like a seventh-round rookie in this football game with our defense and Dan Quinn? And our ability to rush him, if we can, they got a good chance, and then Dak get the win. If not,
yeah, and I got a feeling the Cowboys, when they take the field for a 27-yard field goal with that dude running out there,
everybody's going to wait to see the extra point. You're not running to the fridge if the Cowboys score a touchdown.
No,
because
it's not automatic.
You're going to be hiding your eyes. Oh my God,
Ty's not going to watch. He's not going to watch that at all.
Speaking of hot teams,
he's not missing anything this weekend.
The 49ers, by the way, speaking of hot teams, they've won 11 straight games, and that coincides with the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey, which really took them from really good team to maybe unstoppable when they're healthy on offense. The Niners have limited their opponents to 20 points or less in 9 of those 11 games. So you combine it, you're holding teams to 13, 14 points. You know, Kyle Shanahan, even with Brock Purdy, is going to put 20-some on the board.
Yes.
They just have too much good offense. That becomes the Cowboys' challenge. They've got to know they got to get some stops. Every point will matter, Brett Maher, and then you have to score some points against
every
a really
point
good
will
defense.
Matter, right? They put it in a situation where every point really will matter now.
Well, think about it last year. The Cowboys played the Niners at home in this game. It was in the previous round, and they only scored 17 points. If you score 17 points in this game this week, you're not winning.
No.
You won't win the game because the Niners will be in the 20s and maybe even the 30s because that's how good and dynamic that offense is, even with the rookie at quarterback. That's why they've won 11 in a row. They're scoring more than anybody in those 11 games, and they're allowing fewer than anybody in those 11 games. So that's where this game sits. AFC, NFC, looking forward to it. And Brett Maher, and that I like this way that Mike McCarthy put it, because on a Tuesday morning, there's not much else he can say. He said, we will forge on with our kicker. We will forge on.
In other words, we're going to take a chance. We're going to take a shot. No matter what, we don't have anybody else.
Essentially, it's already Tuesday, guys.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
We're going to go do open tryouts for a kicker for the divisional playoffs. We kind of got to trust the guy.
Kids at the playground have to go to school.
That he's going to get.
On Monday, so we can't get him back. We got to get him back in time.
Hey, coming back, it's salacious gossip. We got to figure out what's going on in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We have a coach there under investigation by authorities. That's not good. Also, the coach in the Metroplex who got in trouble for the 400 push-ups in an hour situation, he's under investigation, too. Get you the very latest on that front, plus some salacious gossip. Outside of that, it's Beanie on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip, brought to you by Bud Light. That is your cue to load up the Blitz at 447-3776. We know the ice-cold Bud Lights will be flowing this weekend with four great divisional playoff games. We got a lot of basketball and a lot of good times in Austin, Texas. Do it with an ice-cold Bud Light, the official domestic beer partner of your Texas Longhorns, the Texas X's as well. Look for those burnt orange cans and bottles that are out there, those signature cans. Great stuff. Brewed in Texas by Texans for Texans, and dang proud of it. The number one selling light beer in the world is Bud Light. Hey, Buck, here we go.
My mouth's watering, boys.
Salacious gossip.
Yeah, that's salacious.
A new study on work productivity. Productivity found that we the people, feel the most productive and are most productive at 10:22 a.m. 10:22 a.m.
Oh, right when I get out of here.
Yeah, right when the show ends. Most productive. But that it's all downhill from there, and we hit our first big production slump at about 1:27 p.m.
Nap time.
And then 2:06. Now, you and I are probably our most productive at 6 a.m., right?
Six a.m.
We get up at 4, we're ready to crank it at 6, and we hit our peak by 8, and by 9 o'clock, we're kind of dragging.
And by 1, it's time for a nap for the old man.
It's time for a nap. But most people get up at a reasonable hour, 7 o'clock, and go to work. So 10:22 a.m. is the money hour. So
people really get up and go to work at like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning? Like just getting out of the bed?
Most people.
Most people don't even get out of bed for work these days.
Well, don't ask our man Elon Musk about that, because he's not a big fan of the work-from-home crowd.
He's always sleeping on the couch. Oh, yeah. No, you get to work with him. Or you don't work.
Elon's in trouble, too, right? He's losing a bunch of money. The Twitter thing's not gone great. And he's about to be in a lawsuit with a bunch of disgruntled Tesla stock owners.
Uh-oh.
Feels like he's nuked their stock recently, or a year ago or so. So we'll follow that story. All right, here we go. I'm not sure what this is about. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Michigan co-offensive coordinator Matt Weiss has been placed on leave. According to an athletic department spokesman, the school police department is investigating Mr. Weiss on reports of computer access crimes. Computer access crimes. Now, this is more affectionately known as hacking. This would be hacking. They're looking into the fact that he hacked someone's computer. And what was he hacking for, and what was he hacking into?
Huh.
And this is allegations. Apparently happened in Schembechler Hall on the football office there. He is on leave.
That well, can't Bo don't care.
No, Bo's no longer with us.
No.
But that'll be a question. What are we hacking? Is he hacking into, like, the Ohio State War Room computer? You know what I mean? Remember when the St. Louis Cardinals got trouble for doing that? Hacking into the Astros, you know, mothership computer? I don't know.
For something, I thought it was some weird porn that was going on. If he's going back to the office, checking it out. And
I don't think you have to hack into porn sites. Do you? They're just there for you if you want them.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
Just look at them. Now, hacking, he could be trying to hack into somebody's personal, like, Instagram or...
Really?
Yeah, I could... The term computer access crime would be hacking.
Can't be making those bets from the computer coach.
Is he gambling?
You can't do that.
All right. So that's there. Also, we'll get into it in our Flex segment coming up, but the coach that we talked about recently up in the Metroplex, the high school football coach, we'll make this a Flex segment coming up. This is not good. What's the high school he's at? I think it's one of the...
It's like Rockwall?
Rockwall Heath. Rockwall Heath High School. He had several players that had to go to the hospital after they came back from the winter break, and they were doing conditioning drills.
Jacking around.
And he forced the team to do 400 push-ups in less than an hour. And now, not only is the school district looking into it, CPS, Central Child Protective Services, is looking into it for this coach. So we'll get into that in our Flex segment, because our man Ty was adamant that 400 push-ups in an hour is not a big deal. This is not overstressing people.
I'll do it for y'all.
Ty says he can do it.
I don't want the show.
I don't want any part of that.
How long would it take you to do 5 push-ups, Mr. Godbolt?
Two years.
We don't have a shoulder to
2 years.
I got
a little chicken wing left up here.
All right, so CPS investigating the Texas high school coach who allegedly pushed did push-up punishment of players resulted in hospitalizations. Two parents confirmed the agency in charge of minors' welfare is investigating Coach John Harrell.
Somebody will be sued.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's hit the Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, talk to us.
This is the Las Dodge University of Texas. Bucky, I'd like to invite you to my Super Bowl party in a few weeks. Get there early because you'll be parking cars and cleaning the restroom. Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns.
I did lose a bet like that. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can place a wager on the Longhorns here. They were cruising. They were up 11 and then the official changing game.
Point shaving. Next
Big
Blitzer, you're
refs,
up.
That's what some are saying, but I don't believe them anyway.
No. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, this is Pam Cummins. Buck, I've seen that little wee-wee. There's nothing whopper about it.
Hold the pickles and lettuce. Next Blitzer, you're up.
You think that Matt Weisgerber is hacking the MILF Matter website?
No!
Shut it down!
Cougars of Copper's Cove.
Cougar Canyon. Right next to MILF Manor.
Ty, you ready for that? Have you got us any info yet?
We were going to watch it last night, but I fell asleep. So.
I got stuck watching the – not stuck. I was watching the Longhorns. I had to watch it on my iPad because it had to be on ESPN+.
Yes.
And I was watching Moneyball on the big TV. Love me some Moneyball.
You've seen that a few times.
Moneyball?
Yes.
Great book, great movie. Brad Pitt. I like Brad Pitt in that film. He does a good job. Does a good job playing the legend of Billy Bean.
Jonah Hill's good in that one, too.
He is good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Art Howe comes off as a total doofus, even though they paint Art Howe. Who's the guy that played Art Howe that's now dead? The actor. Good actor. Seymour. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman. Which, if you know Art Howe, and I've met Art Howe several times, he doesn't look anything like Richard or Philip Seymour Hoffman. But that's who played him in that film of Moneyball. All right, we'll be back. We can roll on. It is the Wednesday edition. Getting you up over the hump. The rain clouds are rolling in this morning. But we got a plenty to do. Divisional playoffs with four red-hot teams in the AFC. And the San Francisco 49ers, they were at one point, Buck, 3-4. 3-4. They're now 13-4. And that's who the Cowboys have to beat. But a lot of Cowboy fans on the text line claiming they haven't beaten anybody